From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for today's broadcast. This is Alan Kearns once again, saying hello and welcome to Let the Bible Speak. Today we're continuing with our studies in Romans chapter 12 on the subject, A Yielded Life, the Christian's Only Proper Response to the Gospel. And in this broadcast, we continue with the theme that as Christians, we should yield ourselves to God for service among the saints, taking our place in the body of the local church. And in today's message, we return to the subject of believers dealing with each other in genuine Christian love, a love that is both true and tender. That's all in a few minutes, but first our daily devotional Bible study for today, which is on the subject of persevering faith. Hebrews 11, verse 13, these all died in faith. And I'm encouraged as I think of today's daily devotional. This day is the anniversary of my mother's birth, and I was just thinking as I looked at the text, what an appropriate text for a godly mother who died in Christ and today is rejoicing in His presence. And that's a great thrill for me to realize the one who not only gave me life, but who prayed for me and prayed me all the way into the Christian ministry is today in the nearer presence of the Lord with all those who died in faith. So let's think of persevering faith. Faith is the gift of God. It's the product of the Holy Spirit in the regenerate soul. Consequently, faith is supernatural in essence. It's like its divine author, living and incorruptible. Since it's implanted by the Lord, faith can never be lost and cannot be conquered by the devil. That explains why the possessor of true saving faith will, in the words of the Westminster Confession of Faith, persevere therein to the end. Such is the truth conveyed by our text, Hebrews 11, 13. These all died in faith. The Old Testament saints died in faith. What an obituary notice. It signifies that they lived in, or according to faith, and continued steadfast in that faith to the end. Faith perseveres. It feeds upon and is sustained by God's word. Though these patriarchs didn't receive the fulfillment of the promises, they did see them afar off. Faith always comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Thus every one of those Old Testament saints received God's word. Covenant promises were revealed to them, on which they set their faith. The expression, having seen them afar off, is a nautical expression, referring to a sailor's descrying the coast at a distance. God's people in ancient times gazed into the distant future and saw Christ's day and were glad. They were persuaded of the promises. They had an assured confidence that what God had promised, He was able also to perform. In faith, therefore, they embraced the promises. That embracing denotes a warm and hearty welcome of the promises. They appropriated all that the promises conveyed to their minds. Faith not only sees the meaning of the gospel promises and the faithfulness of God to fulfill them, it clings to those promises, and in doing so it clings to Christ. God's people were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Their inheritance was not in the earth but elsewhere. Like the New Testament saints, the Old Testament saints looked for the new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And they weren't disappointed, nor shall we be, for faith in Christ shall never be confounded. And today's thought for the day comes from a great American Presbyterian preacher and commentator, W.S. Plumer. Faith in God will always be crowned. Many of you have been in touch with us to ask for the special gift offers that we make from time to time here in Let the Bible Speak. On this program, when we speak of a gift offer, we mean just that. No strings attached. In recent weeks, some of you have received Dr. Mike Barrett's excellent study in the book of Daniel, and I hope you're enjoying it. Currently, we are offering the Let the Bible Speak color wall calendar for 2007. Since this radio ministry commenced in Northern Ireland in 1973, it's appropriate that the calendar should feature some beautiful scenes from there. While our supplies last, we'd be delighted to ship your calendar to you, and we trust that it will remind you of our ministry. As you keep it before you, you'll keep us in prayer for the Lord's rich blessings on our labors. To obtain your calendar for 2007, free of charge, please write, email, or call. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is LTBS@freepres.org. And our toll-free telephone number is 866-877-LTBS, 866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you. Now it's time to return to our study of the yielded life as set forth in Romans 12. We've been looking at how Christians are to act toward each other in love, and today we conclude that theme by showing that that love is true and tender, and it will make God's people open their hearts, their hands, and their homes to one another. So let's turn to Romans chapter 12.
Let love be without dissimulation. The word dissimulation means hypocrisy. Let love be unfeigned. Let love be unhypocritical. That's what he's saying. So it's true love. You will know that the word hypocrisy, I've said this a few times, so I trust you'll remember it by now. The word hypocrisy comes from the theater. It's a word of the actor. In the Greek drama, the actor would put a mask in front of his face. That's what made him the hypocrite. Didn't carry the evil connotation, of course, in the theater that does in the scripture. But Paul is using this picturesque word. And he's saying, brethren, ours is true love. This is not actor love. This is not Christians merely putting on a mask. John the Apostle says the same thing in 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. It has often been said that you can give without love, but you can never love without giving. Paul says, let love be unfeigned. It's not an act. Not an act. And how do you get over being a mere actor, putting on the mask when you come to church? How do you get beyond that? Think the gospel. Let your response to God's people be your response to the gospel. That's what Paul's saying. It's to be true love. Verse 10 and following will show that it is to be a tender love. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. What he says is, as regards brother love, the word is Philadelphia. That famous word that America gave to the ancient Greek language. Philadelphia. The love of the brothers. Now remember he said, you're in the body. So what's the very first thing as regards brother love? Be kindly affectioned. The word means be family affectioned. That's the meaning of the word. Be family affectioned. Have the affection of members of the one family, one to another. That's what Paul is saying. As regards honor, leading each other to the honor, giving the honor that is due to each other, certainly not preferring yourself above another. As regards diligence, or business, the word is diligence. I don't think that you've got to think of the shop you're running or that. It's much broader than that. As regards diligence, and especially in the working of the body of Christ, he says you're not to be slow. He's calling for God's people to be on the front line, as it were. He's saying, I want every Christian to be ready to give himself diligently to the work of God. When it comes to this matter of diligence, I don't want you to be lagging behind. I don't want any Christian to be lagging behind. My, what a difference it would make in the church if every Christian were like this. The whole body must be functioning. Isn't it true in every church that there's a core of people that does 90% of the work? Maybe 99% of the work? Why is that? Why should it be? Paul is arguing against that. when it comes to diligence, he said, don't be slow as regards the Spirit. He's not talking about the Holy Spirit. He says, be fervent. Don't go through the motions. But with your whole spirit in this, you act with fervency. And then as regards the Lord, serving. But the word means slaving. Slaving. The idea of the slave, here the word has the idea of submission to the will of the master. And this is what Paul is saying. As regards the Lord, you're thinking through the gospel now. Your mind is filled with what you are and have in Christ. So how does this cause you to respond to the Lord? You are His slave. You're submitted to Him in all things. As regards the hope that we have, rejoicing. Oh, when you look around you, you'll have enough to cause you to be miserable. And if you get your eyes only on what's around you, you will be miserable. But get your eyes on the hope. Didn't he say this way back in chapter 5? We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. He says, don't forget this gospel you believe. It's not just about the here and now. It is that. It's not just about your justification. It is that. But it's about your glorification. You have a great hope. So rejoice in that hope. And don't let the nuts and bolts of daily life in this world bring your life grinding to a halt where you fail to rejoice in the Lord and where you're made sorrowful where you ought to be happy in the Savior. As regards the hope, rejoicing. And immediately he adds to the hope the tribulation. As regards the tribulation, the word patient means remaining under, enduring. You will have tribulation. I've just quoted from Romans 5. He immediately goes on, after dealing with the hope there, to tribulation. And here he does the same thing again. Because you see, believing the gospel doesn't lift you out of the world. It doesn't lift you out of the troubles of the world. It doesn't lift you out of the persecutions of the world. It doesn't lift you out of the tears and the heartaches that come by simply being in this world. In some cases it may even add to that pain. Many of these people were suffering additionally because they were Christians. But he says, endure the tribulation. Remain under it. Stay steadfast under it. Don't let tribulation move you. Can you think of that in regard to your own life? How am I to respond to the gospel as I serve in the body of Christ? As I give myself in service among the saints? I'm not to be easily moved. I'm not to be made to give up at every little bit of opposition. I'm not to lose heart and simply say, "Ah, it's not worth my while." No, he says, even in tribulation, remain steadfast. How do you remain steadfast? By keeping the gospel in your heart and in your mind. This is your response to the gospel. As regards prayer, continuing steadfast. Now here he touches on one of the greatest needs of the church. What is that? It's to have every member a praying member. That's the great need. But let's be honest. Is there any place where God's people have more difficulty than in the place of prayer? I came back from Canada and nearly drove my better half crazy because for some unknown reason I
could not get back on to sleeping at the proper time when I came here. So, for instance, when I came to church last Sunday morning to preach, amazed the Lord helped me to preach at all. For 6 o'clock that morning, I was still reading and wondering when I was going to get to sleep. But here's the strange thing. When I would go down to my study, and it wouldn't matter what time of the day it was, and I go down to my study to get down on my knees with that book open before me to seek the face of God, I could have slept the clock round. The devil will always make it hard for you in prayer. How does a Christian maintain steadfastness in prayer? As long as your prayer life is merely a guilt reaction to what I must do, it'll be dead, dry, and barren. But when your prayer life is a response to the gospel, and when that gets a hold of your mind, then in response you'll be able to pray. You'll continue steadfast. And as regards the needs of saints, what have you to do? Distribute. The word is the idea of fellowshipping. And there, you know, is the beauty of the body of Christ at work. There is the beauty of it. One of God's people, or a family, in the Church of Christ, hits real hard times. Other people can give to them. Only Christians can fellowship with them in their giving. That's part of the ministry of this or any other. This is the body working together. And then finally, he says, as for hospitality, you have to be pursuing it. Now he comes to your own home. He's been talking about open-hearted and open-handed. And now it's open-home. Everything open to your brethren and your sisters in Christ. Hospitality. Pursue it. Pursue it. That's what Paul says. Can I say to you that the least used resource that a Christian has is his own home? The most underused resource that a Christian has is his own home. You may not have much, but if God has given you a home, he says, pursue hospitality. Open your door. Bring the people, the brethren, the sisters, the other families. Interact with them. Bring the unseen. Let them see what it is for a Christian family to operate on Christian grounds. This is what Paul is saying. Pursue hospitality. How should a Christian react to the gospel? He should first yield himself in service to God. And sacrifice to God. He should yield himself in separation from the world, and then he should yield himself in service among the saints of God. I trust today that God will speak to us. I trust that this church will be a functioning body. I trust that we will cease, to whatever extent that has been true of any of us, we will cease to exist and work merely as so many individuals, that we cease to be, in that trite phrase, ships passing in the night, but that we will be a functioning body
with every member of the body functioning in the place, in the way, and to the extent that God demands of him. And how do we do it? We do it in response to the gospel.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.